When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, here we go.
Let's do it.
Win streak.
Let's do it.
The Celtics were not satisfied with a three-game win streak, so they came out tonight.
Oh, you're going with that? I'm going with they're not ready to be an over 500 team. That's what I think. Not yet.
No. They're competing at this level in the East. Their record against good teams has to be pretty poor at this point.
Well, they got Milwaukee. You know who they've played well against.
Philly, it felt like I actually thought they were going to win this game because they won that first Philly game. The second one, they didn't have Horford or Rob, and they had to play Ennis 40 minutes there, and they barely lost. And then tonight, you just get smoked.
Yep.
Yeah, but one thing I've learned this year is that before any game, I'm not giving the Celtics the benefit of the doubt of winning any game. Like, honestly, even with the
way you know what? I was.
You got five straight points from Horford. 8-2 run, and literally that was it. Philly called a timeout and completely turned the game around, and it never went back to being remotely close again.
That 30-6 run, right, John, to begin the game? That's the game right there.
I need a copy of the Sixers broadcast here.
And
they were bike-watching Tatum.
Oh, were they?
Were they really?
I guess. Anybody want to send me a clip of that? Any of those play-by-play guys talking about it?
Norman mentioned it again tonight, too.
The rest of the league is catching on. Yeah.
We might have to ask it at some point, John.
Just think about it. If Simmons was playing all year and you know him and Embiid are an imperfect match, forget the offseason stuff. Let's just pretend he just played. And Simmons decided not to sit on the bench all year and just rode the bike. It would be a national story. People would be killing him. They'd be like, these guys don't get along. Simmons doesn't want to be here, you know. But forget the bike. Honestly, like I tweeted in the first half, I know, Joe Sway, you saw it. Like Tatum should have stayed on the bike.
I wanted to get a screenshot of you doing your best in Tatum impression from a couple shows ago.
Guys, I don't even know what to do here. There's one thing where, like, let's say they came out and played one of those games. And, you know, shots aren't falling, but they're playing hard, or they're close, but Philly's just a little more talented and they lose the game or whatever it is. This was a zero fight game. This was an absolute mail it in as soon as it. I mean, the first two possessions were Jaylen Brown turnovers and then falling asleep on a backdoor cut. You know, like, yeah. I mean, they weren't even in the building tonight. I mean, this was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
Right.
And like I said, I gave them the benefit of the doubt coming in where Joe Sway didn't, just because of the numbers recently. You look at where they're at in terms of the last 15 games, even the season as a whole being a top five defense now. There's numbers with this team that pointed towards them being better than they've played so far. The only problem is those key stretches are definitive of who they are, John. It's not a blip on the radar. They do this again and they just completely –
Agreed.
Unwind. And when they do that, they're one of the worst teams in the league over those stretches. The fourth quarter is where it's usually at, but tonight it was the first quarter. And I'd imagine if you look at that first quarter number, they'd be a minus whatever net rating, something absurd that puts them 30th in the league. And that hasn't been a problem for them recently, but it pops up again. That's a horrid start.
That's what's strange, yeah. Bobby. We talk about it too. It's everyone – the defenders, I just don't understand. Like, people who defend the Celtics, you know, after losses like this are always like, well, if they didn't shoot so poorly from three, or if they didn't give up that one run in the second, like, you know, or, you know, just cut out the turnovers. Like, it's like that stuff is happening to them. It's like they don't have control over it. Like, that's what they're doing because that's the type of basketball players they are. Like, that run isn't like – oops, it happened, you know, like, you know, like you slipped on the sidewalk because there was a patch of ice you didn't see. They played like ass and then never recovered from it. If it's a game of runs, you got to get your runs back. Like you have to understand too, like, it's not like, oh, we played them even except for that run. If you didn't have that run, Philly gave as much effort as they needed to
give.
You
still would have lost, yeah.
The other team, when they're up big, doesn't keep playing at that level. They give enough effort to maintain that lead. That's about all you need to do if you're Philly. Just make sure you're keeping them at arm's length all game. This idea that, like, oh, this little run is the only thing that cost them is insane to me. It, you know, same thing. It's like, you know, like I said, with the bad shooting nights or the high turnover nights, these are things that they're doing. The fourth quarter collapses. These are things that they're doing or teams are doing to them over and over and over again. It's not just happening by accident. And like, oh, if you cut that out, they'll be fine. That's just who they are.
Yeah. Harris, Thibault, Embiid.
Yeah.
You lost by double digits to those guys, and you made up some ground against Drummond, Niang, Korkmaz a little bit, and Maxey into those bench units. So you made some leeway, headway against their bench, and you probably should have made even more. Well, I mean, right before they ended up waving the white flag there, they actually got about as close as they did all game.
So they wave it at the 9-minute mark. Joe Sway, what would you have done to start the second half?
You're talking about second half?
Why not? Again, we talk about – this is where I don't understand with Ime, okay? You'll call out people in the press – you know, you talk about accountability and things that you want to see, and then your two stars go out there and act like they don't want to be there. They don't want to be on the court for the first half. And then you run the same lineup back out there in the third quarter. And Schroeder was awful too. Al was invisible. I don't remember a thing he did.
Yeah, the first 5 points.
He had the first five points.
Yeah. That's it. Then I don't remember a thing he did after that. And that's it. And then you run those same guys out there. Why? Why?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's interesting, John, because I think that 5-0 Al Horford run was honestly the only reason, I think. You know, I think if Al was completely – well, he was after that out of sync in terms of being in the offense and the way they started it off, because Philly wanted him to take those shots. Philly wanted him to take that three. And then he does, and he makes them, you know, go make adjustments and making sure they just get an open look again. But at that point, it didn't even matter anymore. But yeah, you know, to answer your question, I think that's the only reason, because they thought that maybe they could start off the same way, but then make the right adjustments. But obviously you have to make some sort of changes though, in terms of like trying to get the offense going. I mean, Peyton Pritchard, I thought was the silver lining of that first half. And I was surprised that he didn't, check him back into the game right away, especially when Schroeder was just sort of doing whatever the heck he was on his own. I know he does that a lot throughout the season, but to this extent, I mean, it was just unfortunate when you consider, you know, this run that the Celtics have, a winning streak, if you will, you know, in the sense of the best we've seen from the Celtics in terms of putting together wins. So, like, I thought, you know, Ime should have been more of the disciplinarian and say, look, you know, if you're not giving me instant offense because my guys, you know, the All-Stars aren't cutting it right now, they're ice cold, and we need to lift them up, why not put Pritchard in better situations in that third quarter in particular after he had such a good start off the bench? He essentially kept the game respectable, you know, and throughout that stretch.
He did a little bit in the third, didn't he? They kind of started to get away from Schroeder a little bit there and funnel more minutes toward Pritchard, who was just outstanding, I thought, 7 to 10, 24 minutes at the end of it. Played most of that fourth quarter, so that's probably where he made up most of that ground. But they were a little late there, Joe Sway. You saw Schroeder didn't have it early, especially after the foul he committed. I mean, after that, you kind of wrap that up. I mean, that was just a horrible foul he committed on Thibault running the other way there after a turnover, of course. I didn't think Richardson's was a flagrant. That seemed like more of a basketball play to me, but whatever. You give up 5 points on the Richardson one. You give up 7, I think, in that Schroeder sequence there. So Schroeder, I mean, listen, like, you're not saying that he's the reason they are where they are this year. Like, it's not an indictment on him to say that he's just been horrendous in some of these games. Like, when they really, really need him on a night like this too, just a no-show. Almost feels like a Fournier kind of night when they really needed Fournier last year at his worst. So you're right. That was the obvious one. And that's the easy one to do, right, John? Sit him down. He's not here next year. He's not part of the big picture. I get why you can't make that kind of action on Tatum or Brown. Schroeder.
Sitting Schroeder.
What does that do? This is a commitment. I'm not talking about the sitting Schroeder to play.
For one game, it might do
something. No. If you sit Schroeder to play Pritchard, commit to that. Okay. Like, Just that's what we're doing now.
We're not saying start wise. Well, at least I'm not saying that. I'm saying in that stretch. I mean, the guy had one point.
Once it started going bad, yeah.
Yeah, once it started going bad, and you didn't get anything right out of the gate of halftime. So why keep riding that? If anything, you know when Ime took about all the starters.
You're so right about that.
Honestly, I think you needed all the starters
in the fourth quarter. That's when you put Schroeder back.
I think you needed buckets and spurts, and I think you leave he left Schroeder out there same way he left Tatum and Brown, because any one of those guys can get hot, get 8 points in a quick, you know, and all of a sudden it's a 10-point game, and that's what you're trying to do. So I mean,
threes, don't you?
Not really. You just want buckets, you know? I mean, you came out and Tatum got a couple early. It's just they just played so inconsistent and so bad, you know, that they're just turning it over or giving up layups on the other end. It didn't matter at that point. So the rest of the game didn't. But I understand
I'm not sure. That's a lot of minutes to play Schroeder when he's that bad. What was it, 25 by the end?
Well, I mean, it's not really.
Now they have 35 points at halftime.
It's not when you don't have Smart.
Yeah, I get it, but he was giving you nothing, and he was killing you defensively, like Joe Sway said. So
again, I just don't understand how this can be a Schroeder. You know,
look at his stat line.
I understand that, but like, are you kidding me? Like, your two best players decided they weren't playing tonight, and Schroeder also was bad, and Al was bad. So 4 out of 5 starters are bad, but like, it can't fall to Schroeder. You know, that can't be the thing.
Well, no, like we're answering your question, John. You asked, you know, he could have made adjustments going into the second
half. But that's the one?
Yes! He was horrible.
I'm not talking about play adjustments. I'm talking about message adjustments. Are you telling me he watched that game and thought his best players came out there with focus and effort?
I don't know what he says at this point. Hasn't he said everything this year already? I mean, I was actually thinking that too. I went upstairs and
like I said, I would have no problem if I thought Pritchard was anything more than like
he was good in this game.
Barely, playable kind of bench guy.
I think you're a little low on him, John.
I think he is like a 9 or a 10, and that's about where he's going to be.
He was the best player at Summer League.
Every once in a while, you'll get some instant offense off of him. I just think he's a 4A player. He'll dominate low-end competition. You put him out there with scrubs, he'll score 91 points. I don't believe he's a regular NBA contributor. You'll get little spurts where he's going to get hot. I don't care how much Pritchard plays. I'm not opposed to it. He's not an answer for me. It's a developmental thing for me. If you decide we're done playing veterans, we're going to go no more Richardson, no more Schroeder. I'm going to limit Al's minutes. We're going to go with kids. And that's just how it's going to go. If you get there, I'm fine with it because it'll be fun to watch. But Schroeder's not an answer to me. Like, I don't think we're missing. I don't think the team is missing anything by not playing Schroeder.
It's not about the answer, John. It's more of a, you know, hit this button when there's an emergency. Or I mean, like, that's the biggest reason why he checked
in. I don't think that was saving them today, but necessarily. I'm really more saying is, do you ever get tough and bench your starters? You know, when you do it with nine minutes left.
I know what you're saying. You want to see one of the Jays get benched. That's what you want.
I would like to see them come out of the second half and say, we're going with the bench unit. Like, I'm that mad. I'd love to see it one time.
They got there fairly early in this one with 9 minutes left. I don't know about halftime.
But that was preservation for a back-to-back. That doesn't even feel like a benching. It was clear what he did. He played them the whole third quarter. You get to the fourth. They started them. They played 3-4 minutes. Tatum had the turnover. Jaylen Brown had the offensive foul. 17 points. They're like, forget it. You know, that's it.
Yeah,
they
got then, it. Then 12. you would have had a Pounty. What's it called? When Tatum is all, you know, whiny or whatever. If you bench him to start the second half, forget it. Like, I feel like he would be checked out mentally. It would have been maybe worse, but I don't know. I didn't think they were at that point to start the half without one of those guys.
Yeah, Tatum had an okay start at a half. He was the guy to go to in the spot because if you were going to do that to either of them, because Brown actually pushed a little run. He ruined it with the turnover in the third quarter there, later in the third quarter, that just essentially – that was their best little stretch all game where he had the free throws, the three, and then the layup there. And then he just threw away that awful pass. I know John mentioned late in the third there.
Jaylen Brown, no joke tonight, This was
he was like, good in the third.
This was like year one, month one handle. I don't know what happened to him. He has completely forgotten how to dribble.
And those were bad, but he was like we said, oh, he was being aggressive. God. Nothing else was going. And he made some headway there. Tatum, I thought, was just gone all game.
Tatum was gone, man. He was just gone. But Brown, 5 turnovers, but he might have lost the ball like 12 times tonight. Just a lot of times it was going to other Celtics. He lost the ball so many times. It was so sloppy and loose.
I mean, Tatum had 7.
Right, but I'm saying like Brown had 5, but Brown actually lost the ball like 5 or 6 more times. It just ended up not in Philly's hands.
John's like, but it was uglier.
It just kept slipping off his handle.
Tatum, funny, him and Tatum
looked disengaged. Brown was sloppy. Tatum was, but Brown was late on closeouts. He fell asleep on that back door. I mean, they were so out of it, man. Why?
He had to go to his zone.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know.
Is it just stale for these guys? Like this game really frustrates me. If we want to keep going on, like, could you have saved this? Could you have adjusted something? The Sixers weren't that good tonight, were they?
It was uncomfortable, Bobby.
Embiid was good. Embiid was good. He wasn't great. He should have had the 30-point streak easy in this one. He didn't. And then everyone else on that team just sort of took advantage of your turnovers. So. Yeah. This game was there for the taking. It really was. You could have made a comeback pushing this one easily. You were right in that 15 range the whole second half, weren't you? And no one really slammed the door shut on you.
But at the same time, Bobby.
And their bench stinks.
I just think their spirit wasn't there. I felt
it wasn't.
That, you know? Yeah, it wasn't.
They never made a run.
People can say what they want about Ime. Maybe he was a minute, you know. Maybe he took his stars out maybe a minute too quickly or whatever, but at the end of the day, do they have enough emotionally to make that comeback? You know, the way we've seen them in the past, you could sort of sense it a bit in that third quarter or at least to start the fourth quarter when on nights like that, but I didn't get that sense at all in this one.
And again, what did they really accomplish to start this week? They went to overtime against a Pacers team that started Dwayne Washington and Kiefer Sykes. You beat a Knicks team that didn't have Kemba, Fournier, or Noel in that game. And then you blew out the Pacers on Wednesday. That was a solid win, but it was just one. And then you completely flipped that effort in this one. So, we are where we are with this team still. I'm still where I was last Thursday out of New York. This group is broken to me. Something deep is just not right here. And they don't have a ton of flexibility. And you know what? Like a game like this where you have such a brutal stretch in the first quarter, I said this last Thursday, John, New York, does like a personnel addition or even kind of like a consolidation move fix this when you just have these lapses where you can't stop a spiral or you take such bad shots and you don't run your offense? Like that's from the core of this team on a night like this, right? So you can add the shooters. You can add the wing defenders. You can do this and that. But does the core of the team really change all that much? That's what I'm worried about here. And then, you know, you were missing Smart in this one. That matters. But this just – that first quarter, the way in which you came out in this one just resembles so many of their worst moments this year. And it's been such a consistent trend for this group.
Let's bring in Sherrod here. Sherrod, you hear us okay?
We don't got you.
We cannot hear you right now.
So, Bobby, I mean, just to answer what you just talked about.
Check the mic 1 second, Josue. Go ahead. Sorry.
If we're talking about pieces from that aren't on the team, I think if you bring in a couple of bench guys, that could fit in with the culture and enhance it. You know, sometimes that does make a difference, you know, because the guys who are still around will look and say, "Whoa, you know, I'm still here. You know, I'll buy in now." I mean, I think that could happen. I mean, are they gonna?
They have to try it for sure.
Yeah, you have to, Bobby, honestly. I mean, at the end of the day, I think Brad Stevens, you know, we've been talking about this for weeks, but I think you have to make a move, even if it's something small in the sense of bringing in guys.
Right, like,
the
John, who are you going to go to? I know you want to make a statement, but who are you going to if you do bench Tatum or you do bench Brown to start that second half? But you just got nothing down there. Romeo and Nesmith again in this one, just awful. I don't know what you do there. I think they've lost a lot of hope in Nesmith, really. Like, you see that main trip, you hear the name floated around there, and I'm just not sure how much confidence they have there. They put Romeo in first over him again,
Josh,
and he's just behind
Josh.
So many wings.
Josh Richardson, that's who, right?
Yeah. I mean, they did that early after the Tatum foul, and then they gave up 10 points there. So There's no real answers here. There really isn't.
And that's Sherrod, we got you. There he is.
You got me? Yeah. That's the problem. There are no answers based on what you're working
with. Especially with Horford. Oh, my Lord.
Well, Horford had about 90 good seconds.
Yeah.
That's what we said. Yeah.
5-0 run. John goes, I don't remember anything he did. I'm like, yo, he scored the first 5 points.
And that's a step back for this group. Like, him going in this direction as a player, like, that's another one you look at and go, uh-oh, this one's going bad.
But, Bobby, we've seen that before. I mean, we expected that this year from Al. We knew that he was going to get progressively worse because that's what happens when you are at that point in your career. So I'm not.
Well, he started off red hot too, so that's what. Yeah.
To me, the more I watch this team play, the more of an indictment it is on how not they've drafted. They just don't have guys that can help, and that's a problem. You look around the teams who are in that top tier in the Eastern Conference, and almost all of them have guys that were late first round, early second round picks who are steady, consistent, regular members of the rotation. And the Celtics don't have anyone like that. I mean, Grant is a guy that we've kind of looked at as one of the best case scenarios, and he was MIA pretty much the entire game. You know, other than that 4-4 speed that he showed when Jay Rich and Matisse Thybulle were about to get into it.
He was out there.
I mean, he came.
He's been on my watch.
Yeah.
The leadership from him has been good. The play's been good for the most part and bad recently.
He's giving you the kind of leadership that you would get from a guy who's at the end of his career, not a guy who's on the come up. Yeah. And that's a problem. That's a problem.
I thought he sounded good at shoot around today, too. I got a question, Sherrod, because we started, of course, talking about Schroeder, the one-point game. Mm-hmm. You talk about the drafting, and it makes me think we're kicking around like, oh, could Peyton help? Does Peyton have upside here? When I look back on the Schroeder stint with the team, if it is coming to an end here by the deadline, is it just wasted time? Like, is there something in Pritchard they could unlock that they haven't? Or do they just kind of look at it and say, oh, I don't know about Pritchard. We need a Schroeder here, and that's why he's here.
I think a lot of the – when you talk about unlocking, I think the key to unlocking Peyton Pritchard is Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah.
When he gets his opportunities to play like he did tonight, he needs to do what he did tonight, and that's make the most of it. Show them what you can do. Show them how you can actually – be someone who can make plays, who can do some things, who's not just a guy out there running back and forth and getting his ass kicked on defense. That's pretty much what he's done for large stretches of the season. And now, you know, the last few games, he's looked a lot better. He's playing with the kind of confidence that we saw in summer league. So now, if you're the Celtics, you really need to roll the dice and think that, well, if we give him a more consistent, steady role, he can be that player for us. He can give us maybe that energy off the bench. Because at this point, you really don't have anything to lose. You're not going anywhere with the plan that you're on now. So you might as well get the young guys out there playing more.
That's fine. But like I said, that has to be system-wide. That's the point. Mm-hmm. Like, Schroeder came in, and again, we have to remember here, we called this a disastrous offseason. Bobby, we had to, like, put you through therapy sessions, you know, to, like, feel better about this team. The talent deficit from this team with Kemba and Fournier leaving, imperfect players, absolutely. But those guys were members of a 500 squad last year, and you lost them, and you did not replace their scoring ability or anything. You were bringing their shooting. So you brought in Richardson and Al, and your team was – and no draft pick. And your team was worse. And Schroeder saved the offseason. Miracle. Brad did it because he brought in what? A fringe borderline, almost all-star caliber type of player, starter level, who's going to score, who's a lifetime average of 16, 17, 18 points a game. That was – and he's won you 4 or 5 games on his own this year. They are worse this year without Schroeder. If you want to tell me – go. He's going to have games where you're going to want to rip your eyes out. But so does Jalen, and so does Jason, and so does Smart, and so does Rob. Your best players do it nightly. So, again, if you want to philosophically say it's a lost season, then I don't want to see Al out. I don't want to see
Why
Al.
Why is it
going to
be
wanna
everybody?
I don't want to see Richardson. I don't want to see Schroeder.
It's the halfway mark, John. You can't say it's
no, what I'm
season.
Saying
it's
is
not all or
Schroeder's
nothing.
Not – Pritchard's not going to save you. So he's not the savior. If you want to commit to the kids to develop them, commit to all of them and keep up
They're
on
not
the rest
all the
of the
same.
Season.
Yeah, but John, this is
because you're trying to see what you have in them. Are you telling me? Are you telling me Schroeder is in the way of Pritchard becoming an all-star? Oh, my God.
Well, no, no, not in the way of him becoming an all-star, but Pritchard's a much better player. Pritchard's a much better player than Romeo Nesmith.
You've got – just commit to it institutionally and say it's a lost season because that's the reason to do it. All right, just want to remind everybody about our exclusive wagering partner, Bet Online. Bet Online would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action in 2022. New year and new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code CLNS50 to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available in 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Once again, that promo code CLNS50 to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
Here's the thing.
You're breaking Bob's heart right now.
No, because then, honestly, I'll go around the horn. You think this team is better if you took Schroeder's minutes away and gave them to Pritchard?
But there's a chance it fits better.
So you're either trying to win or trying to develop. Decide who you want to be.
But here's the thing. When you talk about fit, I mean, what's the goal of the fit? I mean, is it to get through the season? Is it to win a championship? Is it to be a better team? Is it to get a sense of what you have to work with? What does fit mean?
It's a little bit of everything there. You hope that he gives you some shooting you need. You hope that he gives you some facilitating and pace that
you know
need.
What,
these
though,
are all
Bobby,
things he does.
Here's the thing, though, Bobby. We're in year two, and the hope is still there. But we don't see – he represents who this team is. Gives you enough flashes where you think that maybe he can really give us something that we can work with, but doesn't do it consistently enough to where you can win games with any regularity.
Well, when he had over 20 minutes a game there when Schroeder was out, I think Smart was out at the beginning. Or so. No, it was just Schroeder there for that six-game stretch. He shot 38% from three. You know,
and they still weren't winning a lot. They still weren't winning.
I really think we're forgetting that Peyton Pritchard is sometimes unplayable when he comes out there and a lot of times does nothing. Like, you remember – the narrative around this Schroeder conversation just makes me want to just break glass. Like, he has – He'll have four good – he's literally – his last five games, he's played phenomenal coming into tonight. He's when as a starter, his numbers are literally fringe all-star worthy. He has one bad game, and Pritchard hits a couple shots, and everyone – Pritchard is the – what are we doing here?
There's a couple things there, though, John. He doesn't shoot, which I think you can admit. He's not a natural playmaker. That's not what he's looking to do out there. He's going to go score you some points, but he scores you a bunch of points. You're not playing great basketball. He's not
on a team that has trouble scoring points. Isn't that a good thing?
It's a team. It's just the same conversation over and over again. Every time he'll have four good games, one bad game, and we're going to be like, he's unplayable. Look, he had a bad game. He scores points. The team can't score. He's instant offense. He draws attention to you. Peyton Pritchard runs around super covered all the time when he plays starters. That's what he does.
He gives the Jays an outlet as a shooter. He's a guy that gets downhill a little bit. He plays the game in a style that's conducive to the style you're trying to develop as a team. Schroeder, listen, he can cover up some patches. He can do some good things. He can win you some games.
Again,
but at the end of the year, he's a free agent. You can't re-sign him, and he really doesn't instill a style that you want to play in right now.
What style does this team play in? What style?
They're trying to instill it. They're not doing
what?
It.
By who? By
he's
putting
part of that.
Peyton Pritchard's going to instill the what style
yes,
is this
he
team
shoots.
Playing?
What
he
happened
shoots
to the fast
ball,
break and
then
all that
downhill?
He was talking before the season.
Listen, we watched Pritchard last year. Come on. He was a good catch and shoot player. He was an active second unit pace pusher, a change of pace at the point guard spot.
You know what else he was,
he
Bobby?
He competed defensively. He had a good year.
He was a rookie that was not on the scouting report. Now he is on the scouting report. Now teams actually incorporate him into the game plan. And guess what? He's not as effective. When he does his dribble drive, there's a guy named Joel Embiid that was waiting for him. When he's on the perimeter trying to trying to get a switch, he's matched up with a guy like Matisse Thybulle. Nothing's happening there. I give Peyton Pritchard a lot of credit. He had a very good game tonight. He was very aggressive. But these games are so few and far between with him. And I don't think another 10-15 You think another 15, 20 minutes and a night is going to all of a sudden he's going to be uber aggressive in the next 10
minutes? I think so. For a guy who's a shooter, a rhythm guy, a dribbler, like those are important things to him, bro. I think.
I think he is who we think. I think he is who he is. He'll get better. He'll just be better at the things that he does.
I think he would just get more exposed, you know?
And that's most likely it.
I don't understand.
Especially when
the
you're playing opposing starting point guards, you know?
Again, Bobby, he's shooting stronger, more athletic. Bobby, he's shooting 35. Bobby, he's shooting 35% for the year. Like, I mean, seriously.
You're shooting what, 31%
because on this
team,
it feels like 42. That's what
yeah.
No, 35 period from all everywhere.
No, what's the team shooting?
You think they're shooting 35 as a team? They're shooting like
42%. No, from three. We're talking about three-pointer with Frigg.
That's fine, but Bobby, again,
they're 22nd in three-point shooting.
Dennis Schroeder. Oh, honestly, do two-pointers not count? Dennis Schroeder makes layups when he blows by people left and right. Like, yeah, does
like
that
layups.
Not matter?
But he's not playing a style like
what,
we saw the other day.
17 points a game on like 50% field goals. That's an efficient
score.
He's doing it all alone. Pritchard's shooting 36% from three. Schroeder's shooting 34. What are we talking about?
Well, he stops this the bleeding too, Bobby. Schroeder.
This 0.2% is the solution?
He's doing it all. Pritchard is not going to do the thing Schroeder does at his worst. He's just not. He's not going to be dribbling around. He's not going to be going straight at the defense. He's not going to be blowing up plays by just
but you're eliminating the good things that he does, Bobby. You know. Like,
I know he does some good things.
Point,
listen, he covers
team...
up... He covers up a lot of patches on this
team. 18 wins right now.
This team would be four. If Pritchard played every Schroeder minute this year, this team would be five wins worse. Get five games worse. I mean, seriously.
You get the benefit of having Pritchard out there.
Again, I'm fine. I'd rather.
But why is it going to be everything? Horford's playing well defensively for you. He's part of a top five unit out there. Richardson's given you a lot of things that you need right now.
So Horford good. Schroeder bad. Pritchard's the answer. That's the conclusion.
For
off
the
of this
style
game?
You're trying to instill on this team.
Oh, come on.
We're talking about ball movement. We're talking about running an offense. We're talking about playing good defense. These are the three things that Ime's trying to accomplish here, and Schroeder just doesn't do those things.
And
I mean, Horford's
does?
Doing those things. Richardson's doing those things. Those are all very active players for you right now.
I don't know. I'm not quite ready to go down that road because, again, you're not sending the right message in the sense that, yeah, okay, he doesn't always abide by the system and, you know, he does kind of go rogue at times, but you need that.
I love
that production, that offensive production that you get out of him, like, something had that last year. Like,
that's
why
Schroeder is ideal coming off your bench. That's why he's an ideal reserve, not a
starter,
because he gives you a change of pace.
He's
a change of pace guard.
He's been doing these things all year. He's been doing these things all year, and your team's where it's at. And to speak to the bench thing, what's he shooting, 35% off the bench? I mean, that hasn't been a good role for him this year.
Okay, so move Schroeder to the bench where he's worse, and he's been doing these things all year, despite the fact that his last five games, he was scoring 18 points a game and shooting 44% from three and only turning the ball over 1.5 times, which is one less than his average. So he's doing it all year, except for the five games that we forgot about leading into this one. What are we doing here? I mean, how selective is your memory that you've erased the last five games?
I mean, he had one good game against Indiana.
The numbers in the last five. There was an article today in the Globe, which was perplexing to me, talking about the inconsistencies of Schroeder, and every other stanza was a series of stats that are favorable. But yet the narrative woven through the whole thing was, but he's so maddeningly inconsistent. It's crazy. Four on, one off is not inconsistent. Okay, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have been way more inconsistent this year than Dennis Schroeder. I don't know how he's the target. It's so weird to me.
I mean, since that 31 against Portland, it's 39% from the field, and this isn't including
you
tonight,
got two.
So it's worse
two
now.
Stars have a 1-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, and Tatum's shooting friggin' 39% for the year.
I don't know how that equates to. I mean, they're massive parts of what you're doing here. You know, like they're the centerpieces of this.
Yeah,
team.
They're massive parts of this losing team right now.
So I mean, I don't. You can get rid of Schroeder now, and
you're going
go somewhere
to.
Else.
But yeah, I mean, so hanging blame on Schroeder and saying
it's not
that,
hanging blame on him.
And
it's
bringing
just what he's
Pritchard
done.
In is going to solve problems. Is not. I don't think that that's right, Bobby.
It's not going to solve problems. It might not. But right now, what you're doing with Schroeder isn't accomplishing anything. And he's had a good year. You know,
Nothing is accomplishing anything. Nothing. Nothing.
So what are we going to do here? Just change nothing and just keep rolling this team right through the playoffs and make no moves? I mean, come on. They got to do something here.
Again, what do you want to do?
Outside help, Bobby.
Are you trying to win or are you trying to develop a player who you think has higher potential than maybe some other people in this room?
I like Pritchard. I always have.
Clearly.
Yeah, but is that a move that you think is that's in line with the Celtics still going for it? Or do you think that's a move that
is, I'm not where John is. I think you can still play Horford. I think you can still play Richardson. And you can get rid of Schroeder and you can play Pritchard.
Oh, man.
And what's that going to do, Bobby?
Shake
you're
going to
be a better team?
I don't know if you're going to be a better team, but
so
I know you're not
point?
A good team right now. Trying something, John. You don't have shooting. You don't have ball movement. So play a guy who moves the ball and shoots. He might
I'm
be a worse player.
I'm not as convinced as you are, Bobby, in that whole Peyton's a ball mover. I don't think.
I mean, how do you look to you tonight? Sure. Didn't he look pretty good out there?
I'm not just surprised.
Yeah, but Bobby, this was one game, and let's be honest and keep it real. This is not the norm for him, and you know that. You know that.
I haven't seen him a lot this year.
Because he hasn't been good enough to play, right? I mean, that's the point.
I mean,
because
part
if
of
he did this consistently, then he would be out there more. That's what this is about. If he played like this, I'm not talking about the shot making. I'm talking about just the distribution, the getting other guys involved. If he did that consistently, he would play more, but he doesn't. And I don't think playing him more minutes is going to necessarily facilitate that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, again,
I think I can literally hear Jimmy Toscano screaming, "Oh my God."
Like, oh, this would be a tough battle if he was in there against me too.
Pretty sure.
It's so funny where like in a team that has its two best players have a difficult time making their teammates better, and that's something they acknowledge and they're working on it. Okay, they have that problem. You have an ill-fitting starting point guard in Marcus Smart, an aging big man in Al Horford, but without any backing statistically, people will just say Schroeder's a bad fit. Everything is a bad fit, guys. It's all a bad fit. Okay, nothing fits. Nothing fits. So if you want to isolate any one of them at any point in time, you could say they might be better with a different person than this in this spot because all the pieces together don't fit. Removing Schroeder from the equation because he dribbles a lot sometimes is not going to fix this team. What he's doing is he's covering for a lot of other issues they have. He can't do. He can't do the thing people want him to do. So instead, he scores in bunches when a team that has a really stagnant offense can't do it. And that's it. That's what he does. Okay. But like the idea that like that's the thing. Pull that guy out, and all of a sudden you'll be able to breathe again. And the person you're replacing
with
is Pritchard. I think you're in for a rude awakening if that's the strategy, especially
for a guy in year two who's smaller and has some defense.
But I'm for the development. I've got no problem. I'm saying sell it, sell them all, and then you have no choice but to play other people. I'm fine with that. As long, but stuck.
Where's your hope level for Romeo and Nesmith?
Very low, very low, very low. But again,
that's my point. I'm higher on Pritchard than
I'd rather see it. I'd rather
but he's
see
not
it
like
than not. Yeah,
way above those guys. Like a little bit, maybe.
I've never seen an extended run from Romeo.
I would. I want to sell.
And we've seen extended runs from Pritchard. Really?
Of his rookie.
Really?
And
outside of summer league.
Last year, he was one of the better guys in the league.
Bobby, they're all probably Jags and probably barely rosterable, at best, bottom of the rotation players. Most likely, all of them. But that being said, I'm for rolling the dice on all of them and letting them play. The idea that it's a fix, though, I think is just it's not. I don't think you have the right of it there.
Listen,
I don't.
I'm willing to go for two if someone gives you something for Richardson. Then his salary might be valuable later in some sort of deal.
Trade them absolutely. If you can get assets, you trade because you're not going anywhere.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you're not going to for Schroeder, but there's obvious reasons to do it anyway. Richardson, I don't know if alone he gets you much. I mean, he's just not a guy that I think anyone's going to blow you away for buyout reasons, for, you know, just the level of push we see teams make to get certain guys. They don't go hard for a guy like Josh Richardson. So that's probably why he ends up staying here. And, you know, he's probably good enough in a bigger deal with that salary to, you know, be valuable going
this
forward.
Is small, so but these are small potatoes problems on this team. You're not winning with either the fit of players that you have or when your superstars don't show up like this tonight. So, Sherrod, I'll ask you, what happened? Like, what was you're there at the game. What's the energy level? Like, what are you seeing in these guys? I mean, it felt disengaged.
It felt as if they were going through the motions for 48 minutes.
Right.
I didn't feel as though they were quitting or anything. It felt more like they just didn't have the fight that they needed. And Philly just looked quicker. They looked more aggressive. They looked that they were hungrier from the jump. And Joel was like in cruise mode for the first half. I mean, he was just basically saying,
right,
you get a shot. Oh, it's my turn to score. Okay, let me just knock down a couple jumpers. And he just called it a day. If you're going to beat teams like Philadelphia who are better than you on paper, you have to bring effort. You have to bring more effort. And they just didn't do it. I was really bothered by the fact that Jalen and Jason it's like they forgot all the things they'd done in the previous three games. Ball movement, trusting your teammates that they can make shots, getting them the ball in positions where they can knock down shots. There was none of that. They became very selfish. And Ime talked about that in postgame, about how, you know, guys were just kind of really they were trying to basically will the team back into the game by themselves. That's not how this team is going to win.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times they've got to bang their heads against the wall and get their asses kicked like this for them to realize.
I don't think Smart is fixing the offensive woes on this team tonight, but you needed the dog in him tonight because there was nothing.
Yeah.
There wasn't even
hint to piss some players off in Philly. Yeah.
There wasn't even the hint of fight there. All it was like, oh man, you know, and just back down the court.
And we talked about that, you know, his numbers, his on-off numbers are sensational. And you did mention, John, that like the drop-off from him to whatever to else you Pritchard. Have at that spot is
significant, right? I mean, and again, I'm not saying Smart solves every problem. Just tonight, you just needed somebody to get
pissed
off.
He's an organizer.
It's not even that. I just needed him to get in somebody's face.
He's like, nah, man, I just want him to fight somebody.
You needed a Rambus moment tonight. Like, you can't get punked like that and have no fight whatsoever and have your two best players sleepwalking. You know, like, somebody needed to grab them and shake them or get in somebody in Philly's face or something tonight. To snap them out of it, because Sherrod, they looked like you were in a trance.
This was bad. I mean, really, really, really bad. This was like exhibition season bad, the way they were just kind of going through the motions. You can't play this deep into the season and have your two best players in that comatose mode the way they were tonight. This was embarrassing. This was
crazy. Against a team that's like a bitter rival, a division rival. There's supposed to be some history and animosity here. And you show up in Philly and you literally
played
like
them well.
Jaylen Brown, first two possessions, turnovers, loses a guy on a back door. It's like he didn't even know the game started. It was unbelievable. And then Tatum's just, as soon as he realized it was going to be a little hard because, you know, Tybalt is tough and there's some good defenders there and they're long and Philly's aggressive and it was, you know, rough sailing. He's like, I'm just going to jack threes. And that's just what they did. It was this was like the second game of a back-to-back sort of game when they're like, we're going to take it easy. And if shots fall, we'll stay in it. And if not, I give up. And they gave up.
And Sherrod, that 30-6 run. Like, what are you seeing up close? Like, when those typically in the fourth.
You know what?
When
they opened the game with a 10-4 run, I'm sitting next to Bontemps from ESPN, and I got Jay King on my left, and they were just like, great start. I'm like, no, this is a horrible start. And they were like, what do you mean? This Celtics team has very few bullets in a clip. They emptied them in the first 90 seconds. And they will tell you, I said this is a bad thing. This is how this team is. They have to figure out that they are a grinded out team. They are not good enough to just simply handle teams, beat them from beginning to end. They don't shoot well enough. They don't defend well enough. They don't have enough toughness. They don't have enough depth. They need to make it more of a grinded out game, not a, you know, shoot them out at the Wild West type of game, which they tried to at the start. And it never works for them. Never.
And John, it is the lapses, like those key lapses. And what is it? Is it just the mental toughness? Like, I actually like that line from Ime in New York, because I think that's all I can think of. When things go against them, a little run, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and they can't stop it. Doesn't matter if they call a timeout. Doesn't matter if they draw something up. And Ime doesn't want to do that, as he said in New York. He wants them to be able to play and respond to this freely. But they just can't do it. No one out there can do it. And maybe Smart can help.
They play with no consistent urgency. They don't value possessions. They don't value, like whatever system or whatever flow they're trying to play with. They don't respect the process. You know,
is it too hard for them?
No, sometimes they just think it's okay to just kind of half-ass it or to freestyle it.
Because it is hard, right, to run good offense.
It's hard. It's constant focus. It's hard to play good defense, switching, constantly on your assignment, knowing what you're supposed to be doing, helping each other out, pressuring the ball, closing out. All of those things obviously take effort. And then beyond that is, I do think sometimes these guys as stars just like, I just want one of those nights where it's falling and it feels easy. And when it's not, you got to grind the whole time. But even when they do, for some possessions, they lapse back into the other thing and they're like, let's see if it's friggin' falling from deep, chuck, chuck.
And that is a good point on the defense, too. I remember asking Ime earlier in the year, like, oh, is the level of defensive or offensive load on the Jays hurting their defense? And he's like, no, we got to play both sides of the ball. And I wonder if how much he drills defense does make it harder on them to run offense at the level that they need to, or make it easy, or whatever they got to do to start feeling good, right? Like, because this group doesn't feel good.
But Bobby, I can't buy that notion, because remember, this team has been a top 10 defensive team ever since those guys have been here. So it's not like they're not used to playing at a high level defensively. So I can't imagine that he's doing anything that's radically different than what they've been doing in the past defensively. There are some subtle nuances that he's implementing that are different for sure. But at the end of the day, defense is effort. And they're just not bringing enough effort at all. I don't think it's because they're just putting more time focused on offense. I think they're just not getting it done. Yeah, I think it's that cut and dry.
And you saw the contrast in Philly. I mean, obviously, they play much better than the Celtics, but you also saw the systemic approach. Like, I just thought offensively they were literally looking for the mismatch, and they got it almost every single time throughout that run, throughout that 28-2 run. And the Celtics just didn't know how to punch back. They just didn't have, like, you saw Tatum and Brown try to force the issue, because I feel like they just didn't. They looked around and said, like, this is what we have to do, And
yeah,
even when someone like
that happens a lot
and gave you instant offense, they just went right back to it. Like, come on, guys, save the day for us. And obviously, neither one of them could get hot.
And we'll talk about some moves, I'm sure. They got to probably do something here to consolidate and make the game a little bit easier for them. Because when it's as hard as it is, John, like for them to do everything that they're trying to do on the offensive end, making it harder by not giving them shooters, by not having much around them at all on that end to help.
You play teams with length that play defense, that have a presence down low. That's going to be harder. Like, there's no excuse. You got to up it. Like, that's good teams are harder to play against. Like, every team's not the Pacers. It's pathetic.
But
like,
you're making it even harder on yourself by some of the units you put out there. You really are.
That's the thing is, like, we're going to bang our heads against the wall. And, it's like I said, is asking the Celtics to do some things differently is like asking someone to be taller. Like, they just can't do it. So, like, it's not – they don't have the horses. This group of players doesn't have it. So the only thing that works, the only thing that's ever worked, which they'll do once or twice and then get away from, is the total buy-in, which is we're going to whip the ball around. We're going to work for good shots. We're going to move off the ball. We're going to play for one another. And when they do that, they have some chance. When they don't, they have no chance.
Here's my thing, I saw this tonight. I'm not sure how much Sharon just weighed.
So do it. You have to make – there are teams who have been successful in the history of sports, several teams that, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. The Celtics are the opposite. It's less than the sum of the parts. So find a way to elevate the people around you. There are teams – I mean, Jesus, we live in New England. We've seen the Patriots send receivers – into the defense and play and start at cornerback in Super Bowls. Okay, figure it out. Like, just there, you can play better. I'm so tired of this woe is me stuff. Yes, it's not a great roster. Figure it out. You know, like, well, you've done it.
Aren't we
in
seeing
spurts.
Them try?
Commit to it. You know,
aren't we seeing them try the effort? And
I
do
don't
wonder
not,
how much
not when you do not when you have games like this, not the 3-game losing streak before. It was a 3-game win streak in the Pacers game. The one of those two was a disaster and they got lucky in that one. So, I mean, again, it's one on, one off, two on, two off, one on, two off, all season long.
You still see a seamless effort in that bad game, though, from Brown, who's made a big, big strides over the last month in that role. And listen, they're not going to become LeBron overnight, but we're still seeing those guys get better in that role in very challenging circumstances here. Listen, I see a play, and Sherrod, I agree with you. They didn't commit to this throughout the length of this game, but I see a play early where Schroeder and Tatum are in the two-man game on the right side there, and Schroeder just ends up taking the right corner three, and it's like, that can't be the guy in that role doing that in that spot. Like, that is where I do actually start to look at Ime a little bit. And Ime even said it shoot around today, this is on me a little bit. There was a little bit of self-accountability.
He did it
there.
In
and
post game as well.
And we talked
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, he fell in the sport in post
game
too.
The way they closed that overtime Indy game with Richardson and Grant out there. And listen, they're not perfect solutions. I even pushed back against the fact that that's a no-brainer move after the New York game, but it did help. And, you know, that's why I look at Schroeder again. When you're trying to – listen, John, you just talked for 10 minutes about how you want to see them commit to this. But they're not committing to a guy who can help them do that. And Schroeder, that is just not a guy who's going to help them play the style that they want here. They might lose, but if they're playing the right style and they lose, don't you feel a little bit better coming out of those losses than you do tonight?
No,
where...
I don't, because that means that we're doing exactly what we want to do and we're still getting our asses kicked. That's what that means. When you
but
play
that's where
your
they're
style,
at as a
when
roster.
You're not good enough?
You're doing one of two things here. You're playing the best players who aren't great fits together, and that's what double big is, right? Like, those are your five or six best players there. It's just stacking the court with your best players, but it doesn't fit together offensively. And you're trying to have these guys repeat good habits, but they're not getting the results out of them. And I do see how that can make you waver in your approach if you're Brown or Tatum.
Again, I'm not going to beat on the Schroeder thing, but I will say you're pointing to a player who has certain tendencies and saying he doesn't fit the others, but then asking all of them to change their tendencies as well. So you either accept that this is what you have and find the right fits among these players, or play to those players' strengths. We've talked about this before. You want to be a certain type of team? You can't. You can't be a pace and space team when you don't have shooters, okay? So you play a different style of ball. You know, you've got bigs who can pass the ball, run some of the offense through them, do different things. This beating your head against the wall to whip the ball around the perimeter and when you've got a bunch of guys out there who can't friggin' shoot is ridiculous. So stop doing that. Figure it out. Schroeder has talent. He can do good things for you. Use those talents. Rob has talent. He can do good things for you. Use them. Richardson, whomever. Figure it out. Okay,
right. But shooting's so important.
Of course, it's important, but I mean,
but we knew going into the season
Brown and Tatum are your shooters. Brown and Tatum are your shooters. Yeah. So try to get them move. Try to get them in positions where you know that they're supposed to be the guys who shoot. You know, when they're the primary ball handlers, it's tougher for them because they attract a lot of attention. They're always going to be taking
people
contested
in the lane,
shots.
There's doubles coming. Yeah,
doubles all coming that. All the time. It's just it's a mess right now.
It is. Here's the other thing. And I did mention this earlier, the fact that those Indiana and New York wins just didn't impress me. You see the difference tonight in the way Philly guarded you. And Sherrod mentioned this too. Like, they did not respect Celtic spacing. You know, Indy did some stupid things when you look back and watch that film, like staying glued to Horford, staying glued to Grant and some of these other guys out there like Richardson. You don't have to do that against the Celtics. You can play off these guys. You can funnel the ball to Horford. In fact, there was a play early in this game where Rob was underneath and probably had a chance to shoot it, but he whipped it out to Horford, who was just wide open because right now Al Horford is not a floor spacer. He's not a guy you want shooting threes if you're the Celtics, and if you're the other team, you're perfectly okay with it. So those are all things affecting the offense right now, and it's yes, you can do other things, John, but in today's game, shooting's so important that if you have none, like the Celtics do, it bombs your offense. And that's why I look at Pritchard, because he's the only guy. He's the only guy with a real pedigree in this on this level of doing it consistently. I don't look at Neesmith and see hope there. I don't look at even Hauser. And listen, you could force Hauser in there, but it's just not part of what you're doing right now. So I understand why they don't do
and
that.
I mean, the fix-it solutions are silly because the personnel isn't there. There's no magic solution, I don't think. You might try different combos we've talked about before. It really comes down to, you know, it's top down in this case. Your top players can't play this bad. There's no you have no chance if that's a kid. That's why I mean it's like we're working our way down to Schroeder and to Al and to other people and like saying what they're doing. Tatum and Brown can't play this poorly. And you have any chance of winning because you just don't have enough
in this game. Yeah, I'm just talking about the big picture.
Yeah, but again, them being one on, one off, not having. I mean, we joked about it, but that last game was the first game you've seen them both go off this year. And I know Brown's been out a bit, but I mean, we're in game 40 something. You know, like your two best players can't get it going at the same time, and when they do, it's a massive headline, and everyone takes a big victory lap over it and see they can play together for game 40 something. You know, like. That's gotta be regular.
And you don't have to drop. You know what? You don't have to, go ahead, Josue.
No, I was just gonna say, you know what? And they took half those shots in the first half, you know, and you saw them try to get into takeover mode, and obviously it just didn't work out for them. But you know what, John? It actually tonight reminded me of what you talked about or what you've been saying like the last like month or two is that like there's a huge drop off after those two guys, right? Like the talent wise. And especially when we're talking about guys that can put the ball on the floor. I mean, who else do you have outside of those guys and Schroeder, right? And you get 1 point
Josh
for Schroeder.
Richardson, like, maybe.
They put the – what's up? Oh, Richardson, I guess. Yeah, a bit, especially lately, recently. Mm-hmm. A little bit. The mid-range game strong. One of your better three-point shooters as well. But if they're not giving you anything or not much, Richardson, you got a little bit out of him. It's just really difficult for them to win against a team like Philly, especially when they're so emotionally – just unattached to the game, it seemed like in certain stretches in the first half in particular.
And there are a lot of fatal flaws with this roster, certainly. The fact that they can't seem to sustain even a single injury among their and COVID case in this case for Smart and still be functional is really, really concerning. Yeah. And that's roster construction, but it's also mentality and other guys being able to step in and fill mm-hmm. those spots. Schroeder couldn't effectively step in the Smart's role tonight. He's a different player. Some things he does are better, other things he does are worse than Smart. But they asked him to go out there and be Smart tonight, and he bombed it. And you're gonna miss Smart a lot here for this next stretch here. You really are.
It's so funny. The entire last chat, 50% of the chat was about how Smart's the problem. And one game we are literally,
I threw the Smart numbers at you last game.
We have the memory of a goldfish as a collective group. And then the next game, it's you know, if Schroeder's gonna go, they needed Smart tonight. It's so funny.
Hey,
I mean,
you've known my stance.
This
on
is
Smart
a 500
this year,
team. Sherrod, let me ask you. You mentioned Ime, and again, you're there in Philly. Sherrod's covering the team. You know, there, and you were there for Ime's pregame, and you said he's taking stuff on his kind of taking accountability for stuff. Postgame quote: I got to do a better job of our guys getting ready to play against a tough opponent, a rival. They were obviously coming off a loss and played a little than harder than we did. It's on me. Now, one. I disagree. You can't motivate yourself to play in a game like this. You know, then whatever. But
there's something wrong with you.
But two, this is clearly a departure. I think you think he's made a conscious choice of like, I'm gonna stop with the tough love here and see if we can get through this together.
I think he's trying to figure out what the hell can I do to get this ship going in the right direction. Because obviously, what he's doing now is not worth. And he's been pretty consistent with that whole tough love approach, and he's probably trying to do something a little bit different. I don't think it's going to work because I just don't think this team is built to handle what he has to offer. There's a lack of mental toughness with this group as a whole.
Yes.
And the further we get into the season, the clearer it becomes that it's not one player, it's not two, it's not five or six. It's a team-wide, you know, epidemic that they're dealing with right now.
Sherrod, a lot of people had problems when he said that. I didn't. It was the truth to me.
I don't either, but I think he's feeling it out, right? I think he thought, yeah, I'm going to try. And again, this is not anybody who's ever had anything. You're friggin' a team leader, a group leader, a boss, you know, a manager, whatever that is. You've tried different tactics sometimes, and you're like, okay, this isn't working. oh, I'm going to leave them alone. I'm going to get up in their business. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I'm going to try tough love. I'm going to try extra super duper support. I think Ime is kind of, you know, I think he's trying on different, you know, shoes here to see if they fit with his approach with this team. I do feel like the latest one is, you know, we are close, you know, we've been, I mean, there were other post game comments.
After three straight wins, why not?
He was like, this is an aberration. And like fans at home are like, no, it's not. It's every other game. And so
Ime's not going to be us. I understand that.
No. But what I'm saying is it's not like us to a trained or untrained eye. It's the swings have been obvious. Okay.
Yeah.
It is.
And he knows that he knows it,
but he's clearly at this point pumping the brakes on it a little bit.
Well, remember, he came in to this job with an edict pretty much to be tougher on these guys. This is what they wanted. Remember, this is what they wanted.
Supposedly, we want to be coach hard. Right.
Right. But there's a clear distinction between being coached hard and playing hard when you're coached hard. That's not happening. They're not playing anywhere close to the kind of effort that for someone who's in your ass the way Ime seems to be with these guys, they're not responding.
Why the difference?
Josue, turn your phone off, Josue. Damn it, I know that's you. I know that's you, Josue.
It could have been Bobby.
It could have been
Bobby, he says with a smile on his face.
It is interesting, John, though, that you're right. He's willing to unload on them in post-game pressers. He's willing to be really tough in those spots. And I'm sure he doesn't look as that tough. Like, he's a guy who has sort of an old-school mentality on that sort of thing. But is there a big difference between that and what you mentioned, John? And I don't necessarily agree with it, but possibly sending Tatum out of halftime, sending Brown, whatever you want to do.
Think he'll do that because I think he's decided – I'm not going to embarrass these guys anymore.
Is there a difference, though, between that and just blasting them post-game?
But he's also enabling them with this stuff, you know, like, and that's, you're, he's in a, I think every night
he's in a brutal spot.
Ime goes home every single night, and yeah, I don't think he can sleep. I think he's like, I don't know what to try next, you know?
I think
like,
there are really subtle ways that he can make his point that they need to be more consistent. To me, the easiest way to do that is you tweak the way in which you sub them in and sub them out of the games. You cut their
You
don't cut them back to like 20 a game, but if they're playing 30, 35, maybe you go 28, 30 and give a few minutes to someone else. And then it becomes a question, why was so-and-so on the bench? Well, because he wasn't playing well enough.
Yeah, scaling it back. They want to do that too, right? But they haven't been successfully doing that.
See, I'm not convinced that they want to do it. I think they've talked about wanting to do it.
Yeah.
It's really not that damn hard. I've seen coaches do that with great players, and one of two things happen. Those players either respond and get their shit together, or they keep sucking, and eventually they get traded. It's really that cut and dry.
Well, here's the thing. He's coaching with this like very – it's almost like a playoff mentality.
But we got to get back out there because we got the 2-1 lead, and if we win on Saturday, we're going to be up 3-1 in the series. And it's just sort of these segments that he's managing here. You see the rotation. It's very playoff-like. You certainly don't have young players involved. There's no dose of development. There's certainly no rest unless they're injured or COVID. And those are things they've had to work through here. But at the same time, there's not a real big picture to the way in which he's coaching this team. So it's sort of just this. We got to salvage whatever good play we have here. We have a good defense. Let's really hone in on that. And we got to just win whatever games we can here. And that sort of does lead to the situation where, yeah, they've gotten some decent wins here or there, but they haven't progressed as a team all that much. I think there's some big picture things he's doing with Tatum and Brown that are good, but the rest of the roster right now, there really hasn't been a step forward at all. And given the situation that the franchise is in, maybe it's not the best choice as a coach for them. And listen, I've loved Ime. I really think the approach that he's brought to the room has been good. I think he's made progress with Brown and Tatum, and I think those two players like him. But we're seeing more and more that this team's further behind and much long shot spot from contending than we think here. So
That's something you're going to have to consider once the season ends, is his approach to the situation matching the kind of situation this team is in right now? Is he aligning with Brad? That's a question I have kind of more and more here. These are the things, big picture, that you got to look at here. Because, listen, I think Ime comes into the office every day, as John said, they're sort of explaining the hedges he's making and the decisions he's making rotation-wise. He has a pretty good approach. But when we look at the team and say, where are they headed long term, you go, like, no matter what little victories they get.
The more I look at this team, Bobby, the more they need more talent. I mean, that to me, because when you have more talent, it gives you more margin for error so that you don't have to be this uber tough team. You don't have to be this, you know, talent at all the positions. If you've got better talent across the board, you're going to have a chance to compete even on nights when you aren't playing your best game. And that, to me, that's the problem with this team. They are built in a way where they have to be damn near perfect in order to beat most teams.
And they're a long way from being that good team,
you can't bank on being that type of team, because there's so much stuff that you have no control over that can significantly impact who you have available.
I also think go ahead, Josue.
No, I was just going to say, I also think that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are also finding out that, or they should be finding out soon, just how hard this is. You know, I think once they get that little taste of success, you know, i.e. three game winning streak, they go back to these habits, because it's just what they know. It's going to take a while. And Ime's been saying that from the very beginning, like, this isn't going to just, you know, change all overnight, or at least after a few months. But at the same time, we're finding out that this roster, the talent does, they need other weapons. They need guys to come in here and help spread the floor. But also, you look at their approach and you look at the way they are individually, and you have to say, well, what's going on with there? You know, like, you look at both of them shooting terribly, especially when the Celtics needed them to do the complete opposite. And it's like, well, how can they figure out how to complement each other? You know, like, that's something that we've been talking about all season long. But when you look at a huge matchup like this against the Philadelphia 76ers, and they both, you know, neither one of them can put something together. I mean, what does that say about the team? Or at least what does it say about Ime? You know, this thing is going to take longer, and you want them to continue to spread the ball and to stick with the program. But that's going to take longer than I think that we all thought that it would. Honestly.
So, and you talk about what Ime can do. And again, this is going to be, you know, back to it. One job is to motivate the players to play, which, again, I just don't know that that's necessarily his job. I know he took the bullet, but, like, those guys have to be out there on their own. This idea that, I mean, we spent all the last year with a lot of people saying, Brad doesn't have these guys ready to play, and I thought that was nonsense too. I think they might have tuned him out. I think they might have needed a new person in their ear. But it obviously doesn't matter, because it's – at this point, you have enough sample size to say, I don't think it's the coach, guys.
It's not the coach.
Terms of motivation. So if Ime wants to help, you are in close your eyes and start to throw darts and see if you hit something mode. So I know, Bobby, you said Pritchard. We have talked about Grant going away from double big. We have talked about flipping starting lineups and changing a couple of rotational things. That would be the first thing I would do to change. Because if the players aren't going to change their behavior, Ime, instead of trying to find ways to reach them, should try to find something different to try. And he hasn't yet. Not anything real. It's still, when he has everybody healthy, he's doing the same stuff. Maybe he might play one guy a little more than another, or change a closing unit from time to time, but he has not embraced an idea of a wholesale change to see if that unit works better. And again, we're talking about the whole being greater than the sum of the parts. So for the love of God, why not try to not do double big once and see if it happens, you know? Just try it, you know? And then see what the second unit looks like with Horford there. Split Schroeder and Smart. You know, try to not play him at the same time. Just and some of this stuff.
You're limited in the amount of stuff you can do. They can try some things. Things might help momentarily.
Just try some. Some things.
There's not a huge amount of flexibility on the roster to try a ton of things.
I don't know if he's worried, like, that he's coaching for his job, or it's his first season and I can't just lose.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, you play it super safe and you play your vets, and, like, you have a rotation of, like,
Is there any reason for Ime to think he has job security, John?
Sherrod, better to answer that. I can't imagine Ime's worried about that at all.
No, no. Because remember, I mean, who's his boss? Brad Stevens. Come on.
I feel your pain.
So that's where they got to be on the same page.
That's what I'm saying, probably.
Right. If that conversation was ever even broached, I mean, I'm sure Ime would, if he didn't give him the side eye to his face, he'd give him the side eye as he walked out the door. Like, I know he's not tripping with me, with this roster that he, come on, stop.
So let's talk about Brad, because we've talked about the Jays, we've talked about Ime. What is Brad going to do right now? That's the huge question if we're talking about changes something. Here.
He's got to do something. I mean,
nothing till the offseason.
You can't. You can't just keep pedaling along here.
Spoiler alert. All they're going to do is trade people. Spoiler alert. All they're going to do is trade people to get under the tax. And if anything, every single move that they make is going to be with money in mind. That's it. So this idea that people are like, Brad's got to do something. There's nothing coming that's going to make this team better this year. Probably not. Okay. Nothing. Lateral move at best, but realistically, you're just getting out from some contracts. That's it. If there's going to be something big, it's in the off season. And again, we talk about what big means. There's really only one big thing you can do, and nobody wants to talk about that. So if you're not doing that big thing, you're probably doing nothing, holding the line, plugging with a new set of affordable veterans, and seeing if you hit in the draft. Get used to nothing big happening.
I love that you didn't say it, and we all know exactly what that
is. I'm not saying it because I don't want everyone to be like, John wants to break up the Jays. I don't. I want
good players.
I want good players here. But again, everyone, just nothing is coming. There's no
secret.
There's no magic fix. There's no secret solution. And it's, as Sherrod said, it's a anything they do now is a money thing. That's it. It's not a make the team better thing.
So that'll be.
It's not about. It's not don't want it to happen. It's just like, how sad would that be? You know, you got both of these guys on max deals. They're locked in. They're under 25 years old. Like, I think
you're
that one is at the end
time.
Of the day. Yeah, but what's wasting time, Bobby, at the end of the day? I mean, you can say that. I guess it's too late to say that in a sense of how you wanted to construct this roster from the offseason, from the jump. But at this point, I mean, it would be a disaster if no matter who you get in return. It would be a disaster if they split this.
No, I'm not saying you do that.
I don't want to do this conversation tonight because, again,
I know. My point is, I think it's more of that in the sense of. That
we can do it tomorrow
just can't make
if you
it
want.
Work. It would be
no,
unfortunate
I'm just saying,
to give up this quickly.
They have to.
This way, I think we sensibly all agree that
Brown's not going anywhere. We really shouldn't even talk about it.
Trade one of these guys, but if you're talking about you've reached an end point where you've decided. No,
I get what you're saying. Like, that's the only way to improve this roster.
It doesn't work anymore. That's the nuclear option. Anything light of that is small and unsatisfying. No one is going to be, they're going to be Schroeder-like moves, guys, and Richardson-like moves. Players like that, that's what's coming. That's it. But there's no quick fix solution here. There isn't, you know.
You have to try something here. And what's going to be available is very interesting. Obviously, it takes two. And if there's
that's
nothing
the
else,
point.
Out
it's
there,
not going to be for lack of effort. It's going to be for lack of having anything anybody wants to trade for.
And that's what it always comes back to. What do you have that someone else wants? And when you look at this roster, come on, Bobby, you know.
You don't have a ton, but if you get creative,
less than a ton. You don't even have a little. You don't even have a little.
All right.
Less than a ton.
Listen, there's ways to stack up salaries here. There's ways to trade picks.
But
there's
nobody
ways to
wants
get creative.
Those stacked salaries. That's the thing.
You don't know necessarily. And if there isn't, then oh well. But they got to get creative here. And seeing the first one go by, I do understand why people were frustrated that they didn't try the Reddish thing. The price wasn't massive. You swap out a young player for another, and you have this guy who's got some potential here. You could clear the way for the younger players here on the roster, John. I don't necessarily think you're going to do that. But if you don't, I'd like to see some younger players swapped out here. Because
again, I think your best moves were exactly like a Cam Reddish move. You want a guy who had a high pedigree and a lot of talent who didn't work out in his first destination for whatever reason, coaching, underdevelopment, wrong situation, whatever, who may – in a second stint with a different team, unlock something, but you know the talent is there. That's what you want. Like players like that are much more attractive than guys who you know what they can do already, you know. And
those are things you can do now.
Yeah. But you have to have guts and foresight. You can't wait till that guy gets good a year from now and be like, wait a second, I want them. You got so, and that.
And
might
I'm worried about
risk.
Brad.
You may think, Thomas trade. We no
you, expect, think you, know? You may think you lost the trade today and find out you won it in a year. You know, so like right. It's one of those. Like, but that's yeah.
I'm worried about Brad in that regard because everything he's been saying, and he hasn't been saying much. But you do get the sense that they're focused on the big deal and the moves that can move the needle toward a championship. Those are the kind of moves I don't think they're in a position to make, John. And I agree with that because it takes a massive offer to go get a De'Aaron Fox or Sabonis.
You also
or
have
some
to have
these
talent.
Kind of guys. Yes, and everybody's going to ask for
disposable
Brown.
Talent.
I know
so that's have disposable.
So
talent.
you gotta get creative, and you gotta
but
find.
It's not, that's you say creative like that. There's something there, and that's where we kind of differ. I don't think there is a creative solution. You go for a real impact type player like a De'Aaron Fox or whomever. Yeah, we're not saying De'Aaron Fox is on a level of Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is a more valuable overall player. But the conversation starts with, I'm thinking about Fox. Who do you want? And it's Jaylen. And we're like, no, Jaylen,
but let's
who
say
else? And the answer is no one else. And is there nothing I can offer you? And the answer is no, there's nothing else I want. That's it. Again,
it's let's say it's Barnes or yeah. Josue's guy, Buddy Hield. I mean, those are guys that make the process you're trying to undergo right now a little bit easier. They're not guys who are going to make you a championship team
sure
right
do.
Now, but they're guys who are going to make you better. And, you know, you can use a pick to go get one of those kind of guys. If necessary, you could use two picks to go get a guy like that, a starting level talent in the NBA. Unfortunately, it does seem
like that
Jeff Green move, that Jalen Smith kind of move is like the ceiling of what we're going to see here. When they need so much more, they need some risk here. They got to try to do something. And Brad calls it making a move just to make a move. When they're where they are roster-wise, you do have to take some risks, right? Like you can't just keep sitting on this right here and hoping it's going to get better because you like Rob and you like Smart and you like having your picks.
I know, but if the idea is – under no circumstances are we breaking up the Jays and they're set on that. So every conversation ends as soon as those guys are mentioned, then you're stuck in waiting for something to happen that may or may not happen. That's the reality.
I did get an interesting trade from a listener for the first time ever.
Yeah.
That did involve Hield. It did involve Hield and Barnes coming back. Picks go to Sacramento.
Do it
and salaries yeah. essentially going
well we got
Sacramento.
We got more time to talk about this tomorrow with another game coming, so we'll let you guys know back to back. It is Chicago. Josue will be at the Garden, Bobby covering from home, I'll be covering Patriots guys, so
stay warm, John. Stay
for
warm
for these shows will not stack up, okay? So if you're watching both games, the Celtics show will be first, and then that's going off, and then Patriots is going to be on next. So you can catch them both. Subscribe to our Patriots YouTube channel at Patriots Press Pass. We'll be live 30 minutes after the game. Evan Lazar is in Buffalo. He's covering the game. He's going to jump into the post-game locker room, get some quotes, and he's going to hop on, and we're going to go for as long as we go. Yep.
Do your thing. Take one for the team.
Exactly. Hey.
Buffalo.
And that it's going to be miserable in Buffalo. As far as we're concerned, what are we looking at? The Bulls, correct?
Yep. They're shorthanded too, I believe. Missing
Levine.
Doesn't matter.
Levine
just got their
home.
Butt whooped too by the Warriors. So
yeah. Levine might be missing the game. They could be short. We'll see. You know, maybe the Celtics get Smart back tomorrow. He was probable in the he was questionable in the protocols today. So who knows if he gets cleared? They could have a full lineup tomorrow night. Believe it or not.
Nah, I'm not counting on it. It looks like Smart's going to kind of go through the full sequence here, but they do kind of have a weirder.
We'll see.
System with that now. Yeah.
But we are going to wrap it. Sherrod's in Philly. He's got work to do, and then he's got to bust his ass home. Are you on one of those, like, late-night trains?
Not this time.
No?
Not this time.
He's about to go get a cheesesteak and enjoy the night. Do your thing, Sherrod. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Josue, just make sure you turn your phone off next time, Josue. Damn.
My life just died.
Come on, man. Everyone forgot about that. Come
I'm
on,
not
man.
Changing the bulb. We're going to wrap it. Thanks, you guys, for joining tonight. It was an angry crowd. I like it.
Even your computer wants you to stop. He's like, stop.
Everybody wants you to stop. Yeah, I'm in the dark. I'm in the dark here. We're going to wrap it up.